Does anybody have what I went over so far? Does anybody have any like questions? They're completely confused or don't understand. And this is the time to ask. We're in the trust tree. You can tell me anything, really. Anyone?
Yeah, I'll need to see it up close.
Okay, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna just redo the demos for you guys right here. And then we're gonna start putting them on and I'm gonna walk around and check them. And then we're gonna put them on a couple more times and I'm gonna have you put them on each other.
So the techniques we're gonna show you with these pressure dressings is, it really is just technique. It doesn't matter if you have this stuff or if you've got a sheet and a beach towel and a t-shirt, whatever, like socks, I don't care what it is. It's the pressure and keeping the pressure on there is what actually matters.
My goal is that when you leave here, you're not going, okay, I need to look up some more stuff about that. No, you leave here feeling confident that you could go teach your spouse. You could teach your kids. My kids are 10 and 8, and I can guarantee you they can put on a tourniquet. It might not be perfect, but they understand how to get it on their brother or sister, or get it on me. Because they go with me to the range, or we go out and, you know, we've done some international travel, and every one of us has a little clear bag with a kid in there. And people go, oh, you can't take that through TSA. Never had a problem, ever.
So, real quick, hemostatic agents. Anybody in here heard of Solox Rapid? Yeah. So this is our latest, greatest, favorite thing that's out, and reason being is multiple different reasons. So Rapid means it starts working in about a minute, okay? The majority of the other stuff that's out there takes around 3 minutes for it to start working.
This is gonna start preparing you. It's the repetition, but correct repetitions. If you're doing it wrong and nobody looks at it, that's why. So once you put it on, let me walk around and check it out and just let you know so that we can correct it right up front. You don't build some bad habits right off the bat. So the tourniquet comes in this configuration, right? This loop. And I will show you how to put it, you know, reset it after I put it on this first time. I can't predict which way you'll carry it. You know, there's holders, like law enforcement carries it here. I have sometimes I'll carry, like if I wear the sidecar, the little sidecar appendix carry, right? It has a spot for an extra mag, you know? You can work a cat tourniquet down into that hole, and I will actually carry one like that.
There's Solox, Solox Rapid, there's combat gauze, there's Kaida gauze, there's several different iterations and generations of hemostatic agents, right? What do I mean when I say hemostatic? To break the word down.
But just on the back of this, on the plane, I mean, I take this on the plane. I'm telling you, my kids have them in the bottom of their backpack. It's not about what bag you're carrying it in. It's that you have the right stuff and you know where it's at and you can get to it. Okay, and I don't like going, oh, it's in the belly of the plane. No, I want it with me. Or it's in my vehicle. Yeah, I have other kits in my vehicle, but this, I mean, I could take it out or I can sit it right on the seat or it's important. That's one of the biggest things that people make the mistake. Law enforcement, we've had to work so hard to go, no, you can't keep it in the trunk of your car. If you're 20 feet from your car, you'll bleed to death because you can't get back over there. And it drives me nuts, but it's the way it is. It's hard to get people to kind of, you know, mold them and flex them into like, no, I've experienced this, so this is why you have to do it this way.
Hemo's blood, right? Stasis is stopped, right? So the idea is that this is going to help that process. So what's in here is called stuff called chitosan.
And you know, part of the problem is there's a very low percentage that ever face this in their whole life. So if you're a law enforcement officer and you know that, you know, under a certain percent ever even draw their guns, you know, or whatever the situation may be, you know, are you going to come across an active shooter event in your life? I don't know. But that's why we teach it as it could be a car accident. It could be your family member on a camping trip. I don't care what it is. It's the same. It works for the same thing.
What's in this is called stuff called chitosan. And it's basically ground up shrimp shells. But the proteins that cause allergic reactions have been taken out of it. So you can use, say again? Shrimp shells, yeah. Yeah, so it's used a lot in medicine, chitosan. But the proteins have been taken out that cause anaphylaxis type reactions, right? So you can utilize it on anyone.
However, whatever kit you're using, what I wanted you to understand is that I find it helpful If I grab that tourniquet in the loop like this, and I can flip this with my thumb, that is the way, if I'm gonna use my right arm and put it on my left arm, I wanna be able to do this. If I was doing it opposite, I would, does that make sense?
And the other nice thing that we like about this is that it doesn't require your body's clotting mechanisms.
When I go to grab this tourniquet, even if I'm not looking, if I'm very familiar with it like anything else, I can get myself to this point. Does that make sense? Even if I grab the whole tourniquet and I only have one hand to use, I can look at it, but I also want to know what it feels like in case it's dark out, in case I'm in, you know, this worst situation of my life. And if I grab the whole thing, it's harder to kind of get to that point. So as soon as I feel where I'm at, I get a hold of the loop and I just have my hands through the loop. And what's good about that is it's getting you ready to do that one little throw that's gonna make a hole big enough for you to put your hand in there. Does that make sense? And when I'm right here, I can feel that. When these tourniquets first came out, there was no reflective band here, no reflective tab. They just ran to the end, and we started finding ourselves in the dark. We're like trying to find the end of this overseas in combat. We're like, I can't find the end of it. So then we started flipping them up and putting 100 mile an hour or duct tape around the end of it so it would stick up like that. Well, it's a great thing when a company will improve a product to help save lives, and that's what they started doing, is reinforcing that and putting a reflective end on it. So now we can get a hold of that pretty quick. So when I'm in this position, I'm gonna put it on my left arm. I give it one little thing, that's all I do. I just want a big enough loop to get my hand in there. I don't want you using your hand to open it up. A couple guys were like, oh, I'm gonna do this. The goal is that you can't use this arm. That's the goal. I can duct tape a tennis ball. There's all kinds of techniques we've used. But then I have to unduct tape everybody. So we only get so much done in one day, right? So this way, I just want you to understand, I'm just trying to get a big enough loop to get your arm in. If I only had a stump right here, what I'm doing is I'm using my arm, but I'm pulling pressure and working at this hand. You see how I'm using my arm? Even if I had a stump, I could probably still do that. And then I'm getting it up high and tight. I'm not using this hand at all to do anything to help me. I grab right here, I pull it tight. I'm gonna grab here, cinch it down a little bit more. What you will find with a really, really skinny arm is if you cinch it down too much, you almost can't even tighten this. And I don't know if we have anybody like that in here. We can make fun of his arms later, but no, but my point is it actually is, it's kind of opposite. Like if you have, like my daughter, you know, she's 8 and the cat tourniquet will work on her, but you cannot cinch it down all the way around her arm. You have to leave a little bit of space and then start tightening it. It's just interesting. It's made for up extremities down to 5 inches in circumference is what the book answer, the guidelines are. But I've had it work on my kids for several years and they're 10 and 8. So, you know, you can, if you practice it and know the limitations or what you can do with it, you can really learn a lot about it by just actually putting it on somebody.
Yeah, it's like, where do I pack? There's so much area in here. What would you think you would need to look for if you're trying to stop a specific spot from bleeding? Where it's coming from. It may not squirt. Where it's coming from. And this may be, so if this thing was filled up with blood right now, would you be able to see where the seed of the bleed is? No, you're gonna have to get it out of there, right? And Don's already talked about, like, people are not gonna be super happy about this, right, when it happens.
So then we're gonna start tightening. And right there, I mean, I cinched this down so much, that's not even one turn, man, and that sucker's on there. I tighten it until the bleeding stops. I make sure it's locked in. A lot of guys earlier were having trouble when they were tightening it. They were getting to this point and they can't lock it in. You cannot grab this and work against this. Use it like a lever, right? Back here, I can manipulate this a lot better and get it under there using this end. And then I'm grabbing quarter turn to get it under the seat. The only reason I'm doing a quarter turn is because if I do that, the Velcro sticks together. Quarter turn under there. Time. If I was at this point right here and we're out on a range and I called threat, we got bleeding controlled, I can go back to my gun. Once the threat's mitigated, I need to finish this off. because I don't know what the next 15 minutes or 1 hour holds. So then I would go back, quarter turn, time.
So you need to find it. And then it's what we call a stopgap, right? So as soon as you see something like this, what do you want to do? You can't get a tourniquet on it. Pressure above it, right? Or direct pressure, right? It may be a hole like that, right? So put a direct pressure on it. Doesn't matter how you do it, because you're not running around with this stuff in your hands, right? So you need to free your hands up so that you can do work.
I think we all do it. Sometimes we try to go, you know, but I got a better way. We want to keep this easy. Because remember, if we're the guy that's sitting on the ground in the video and we've lost that much blood, by the time I sit down, I'm already, my level of consciousness, which is normally the first thing to go with severe blood loss, my level of consciousness, I might, if I wait too long or it takes me too long, I might get to the point where I'm looking at this and I'm going, I might not be able to make that happen. So that's why I'm saying when we have that going on, you got to do it right away. You got to react. So we open it up so we can slide it under using that natural void. There's a natural void down here too, but I'm going high and tight. I don't want to go down here and try to, you know, go up here, try to grab close and work it up. This floor, it slides nice and easy. This is a really easy floor to work on. You'll see when we get out there, the gravel, the grass, the dirt, it's going to flip this thing over. It's going to pinch this together. So the closer you grab to your leg, the better. You can control the strap that's underneath there and kind of work it up your leg. We got to make sure all the furniture is in one room, if you know what I mean, because that will definitely, you'll get made fun of for the little scream that you'll let out. When I get here, it's almost like when you're tightening and cinching down a strap. I would come this way a little bit, and then I take both hands and I lift it up. Do you see? If I don't do that, I have to twist a windlass for that all, you know, 1 or 2 inches of tension I just got. So then I run it back here. Remember, if I only do a couple inches there, as soon as I start tightening this, that's going to pop off. And it'll make me a liar, but hear it? So there it goes. So I want to get as much as I can. And what happens is we start going fast and we're like, okay, I'm trying to get the time. But we want to make sure, even if we don't go all the way under the leg, if I run my hands back and forth and I get 5 or 6 inches of Velcro to Velcro contact, this thing's good to go. It's not coming off unless we get it caught on something. And then I start tightening. I'm going to see if I can do what I did last time, but it really hurts.
So put direct pressure, that stop gap. And then get your kit out and start working, right? So Don's already talked about the bone ends, right? What's the end of a piece of bone like that's been broken?
Sharp,
right? It's jagged, okay?
So look, come up here and look at the windlass. You see the bend in that thing? There's a lot of tension on that tourniquet right there. This thing will get to a point where you can't turn it anymore. So when we talk about adding a second tourniquet, that's the point that you're doing it. If you don't have bleeding controlled, don't fight with it. Don't take it off. Add a second tourniquet, okay? And that's the kind of tension these things will go under. The first generations, time, the first couple generations, what would happen with these, before these were reinforced, this is what would happen. When they got that tight, a lot of people don't like the cat tourniquet because when they got that tight, their experience was it would bend and pop out like that because this thing would flex so much. But now, up under the C-clamp, it's hollow. So this locks in under there. And this thing's so much stronger that it doesn't bend like the old ones used to. So you might hear people, if you're like, oh, I carry the cat. There's some military guys that were in or people that used it years ago that are like, oh no, that thing will fail on you. And we learned from it. It did fail a couple times. We would add a second tourniquet and the company made it better. That's why there's 7, you know, generations.
Pressure to pressure. Pressure to pressure. As soon as you put pressure on there, don't let it up until Doc Glenn in there starts cutting them open in a trauma suite, right?
How much pressure is sufficient to stop them?
I put as much as I can. Are you like a foot pounds or something like that?
5 pounds, 10 pounds?
I believe this artery right here is like 12 pounds for it to shut it down on your femoral. So it's not a lot. It's not as much as you would think it would be, right? But that doesn't mean you're not going to be pushing on them anyway. It's, yeah. Yep. So you, with a large wound like that, you want to fill it up, right? So I'm still pushing pressure this way, right?
Second turn, you're right up,
cut it up. Yep, right up against it. And the only thing I can tell you is, if you go right up against it and the windlass is right next to the windlass, you're gonna have trouble tightening it. Try to offset the windlass. And that's just experience, like doing it a couple times. You will have to do it out there. I promise you, I'll throw a couple of those at you. So let's make sure your tourniquets are reset. On the arm, it's not as big of a deal because if we cinch it down, you know, in training, we're only getting like a half a turn or maybe one turn if you're really cranking it down on yourself, okay? But on the legs, what we're seeing is like this much slack. And I said, you have to reset these or it's defeating the purpose. It's not really training properly on them. So if we grab the ends, pull that slack out, stretch it out pretty good.
Do people usually cooperate when you're doing this?
No.
And so in the case where you had Josh helping and keeping direct pressure above the wound, will you continue to do that while you're packing?
Or you can. There's nothing wrong with that. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. But the thing I will tell you is don't let too many damn hands get in there because it becomes a problem, right? So then I'm like, well, this isn't full yet. I need to keep packing it, right? So I'll tell you how do I judge when I packed enough? I pack it, and then I pack some damn more in it. And then I pack some more in it until this thing is built up. Okay, so that's just about full right there, right? And then I will keep putting more in there. And you see me unraveling this stuff? Mm-hmm. Yep. Don't just stuff that whole thing inside of that because it'll fit in there, right? What I'm trying to do is get surface area. Okay. And it's putting more pressure by doing this stuff, right? So I build this guy up as much as I can. And whenever it gets to this point in time, I'll leave it a little rolled up or not. I'll leave it a little rolled up like that. And I try to build it up above the wound.
Left arm, go. So if you're pulling to the outside of your arm, you'll see that it's a little tougher to get that thing done, right? It's not that you can't do it. 17 seconds, good job. Holler out time so I can hear you. 23 seconds, good job. Go ahead and take them off if I've already looked at you, good job. Good, 30 seconds on the money, good. So, yeah, so you were struggling, right? You were struggling a little bit, you were struggling a little, and you were struggling a little, right? And all three of you did it the opposite way. It's not wrong, but that's why I teach it that way. It's tougher. It's just tougher to get it on there.
I want to build this up and get it above that wound as much as I can. Because what's going to happen whenever I go to put this pressure dressing on it, the actual ACE bandage portion of it, it's just going to compress that stuff down, right? And if you guys think about a gunshot wound real quick, like ballistics, right? So when a bullet passes through a body, what's it dumping in it? Energy, right? Energy is created, it doesn't disappear, it dissipates. So when it goes through a person, it's dissipating that energy in there. So what is it doing whenever it goes through? You guys seen ballistic gelatin shot before? So stretching all that stuff out. So if I just stuff what the hole looks like is all that tissue, fascia or all those things stretched out when a bullet passes through there? Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So if I don't pack it full and then pack some damn more in it and then wrap it tight, what's going to happen is if it's, oh yeah, that's enough, and it's really not enough, and you start wrapping it, we start moving you around, it's going to snatch that clot out of there that you just did all that work to try to take care of, right? So once you get this where it needs to be, keep it tight, keep it on there, wrap it.
So if your patient's conscious, and maybe Joel might have mentioned it over there, like we see it a lot with neck bleeders. A lot of us have dealt with some nasty neck bleeds. If your patient's conscious, have them help you. Here, hold pressure here. You know, hold pressure, do something. You know, hold this for me, get out my, have them help you out because they can be a good pair of hands. And the other thing is they're not focusing on what they're going through. If you're giving them some work and talking back and forth to them, they get engaged with this process.
So now is where it gets a little bit tricky. You'll have to kind of do a little bit of a hand jive, right? So what I want to wrap from here down, if this is the head that way, I want to keep the pressure right where that spot's at. Whatever that looks like when you're wrapping this, I don't care if you're doing it with a towel, a blanket, a bed sheet, whatever it is, keep the pressure on the spot that you want it, right? Because we've identified that as the place that bleeds the most. Usually the question we get is like, well, where do we go? Where it's bleeding the most, how about that? Okay, so you get it on there. It even says other side towards wound. It doesn't matter, you can buy an ACE wrap and it's the same thing basically, right?
We get this bleeding control quick and they're still conscious and they can stay in the fight. They'll sit in the back of that truck while you're driving back in with that gun up. They'll get on the radio and start calling in their own stuff and we can stay in the fight and keep working. And I know that might not, when I say stay in the fight, it might not be the exact situation you're in, but it's the same thing. You have a mass casualty car accident or an RV trip or an accident at the range. Keep people engaged and it stops them from panicking. You know, it helps guide them. Somebody's got to take control of the situation and guide everybody, whether you consider yourself a leader or not. Whether you're the one with the most rank, it doesn't matter. A lot of times that's not the person that's taking charge.
That I'm keeping it tight enough that whenever we start moving them around, it's not gonna jostle that patient and rip that clot out of them. Does that make sense? Right, so get it as tight as you can, okay? And this is kind of the trickiest part when you're first starting, because all this stuff right here is just ACE wrap with a piece of gauze, or with a gauze pad on it. That's it. You can buy the same damn thing in Walgreens, right? Okay, this is actually really good elastic, so we like using these, right? So get these nice and tight, and they've got little Velcro deals on these. Some of these have been already used, but it prevents it from unraveling on you all the way, right? So if it does that, crap, right? You're never gonna get it tight enough trying to do this, right? It's not gonna work. Josh, put your hand back right there. Perfect. Now, I'm gonna take and roll this guy back up.
Make sure you're doing it correct. I'm walking around to the other guys, all right? You can still apply it a couple more times. Good, good.
I wound up with mine backwards.
Good.
Put it on the first time.
Yeah, and it happens. That's what he did up there, and I just, okay, you know. So. Good, oh, so make sure.
Oh, yeah.
So look, and I wanna show you this. Here, come up front real quick. Not diming you out, it's a good teaching point. Hey, everybody look up here real quick. So if we look at how the tourniquet's applied, even if it's tight enough and we have bleeding control, what's the problem right now?
It should be pulled underneath.
So if I, let's say I had to, he was laying on the ground and I had to go in a pretty rough situation and grab him. I might go in and this could get caught. Law enforcement is wearing more Velcro than the military nowadays. So if that gets caught on my Velcro, it's gonna pull it. As soon as that pulls and releases the pressure, the problem is we get so busy with everything else that he's bleeding to death right now. And it looks like his tourniquet is on. So if I don't reassess by sticking my fingers under here and go, oh man, I lost my tourniquet, I gotta redo it. But the whole issue was, from the beginning, after he tightens that windlass, he's gotta do that quarter turn. I'm not saying, you know, you can't rip that thing out of there, but it helps. Does that make sense, guys? Okay, go ahead, take.
So could you put one of these on a leg that you've already put a tourniquet on? Like, let's pretend this is a tourniquet. Yeah, absolutely. You're not just gonna leave an open wound, right? You wanna dress it, right? This is a pressure dressing, okay? You just wrap it, and wrap it, You see how I've covered up each portion of those ends, right? Because that gauze is going to grab whatever's on the outside and try to drag it into this inside of that wound, right? And the cleaner we can keep things, the better, right, Doc? So it's got this big old thing of Velcro here towards the end. It's really kind of pain in the ass to deal with. It will stick, but I don't trust it. So here's what I do. It's damn tight as shit. So I hedge my bets. So I get a little bit of tuck, and then I put that Velcro on there, right?
Left leg, go. Remember what we said about the leg. Don't get a head injury going to do the leg tourniquet. Good. Do not go over anything in your pockets, right? If you have some in your pocket, 24 seconds, good job. 27, 28, good. Make sure you get all that Velcro.
So you shouldn't be able to get your fingers underneath this thing, right? Another technique, you don't have to do this, but another technique, like if I wanted to get it over the top of that spot right there a little tighter, it's called belting, right? So if I wanted to put it right there, more pressure in this spot. See what it's doing? Putting more pressure down on it. But if I started up here and I was like, oh, there's a spot and I went to do that and I stretched it, you see what's gonna happen? It's gonna put pressure in a different direction. Don't do that, okay? Now, do you have to do that? No. You can get this thing as tight as can be, just like this, right? But if you wanted to put more belts, you can, right?
33 seconds. So what's my big concern with the 30 seconds? That's my big concern. It's not a test answer. It's not a, oh man, you failed. You know, you got a B minus, you got an F. No, it's, we know because we've seen it that you only have a certain amount of time if you truly have an arterial bleed or a good solid venous bleeder that's been bleeding a little bit. You know, what do we think is worse, right? An arterial bleed or a venous bleed? Generally speaking, arterial bleed is much worse, right? But here's the problem with venous bleeds. They're kind of like a little, they hide out. Like we have somebody get shot and we have a tiny, tiny entrance wound from a 5.56 round in the top of the thigh or somewhere. And they're wearing dark clothing and they're laying out in the grass. It's a hunting injury, whatever it might be, anything. And we didn't even realize they sat there. They've been bleeding for the last 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 8 minutes. And then all of a sudden, the first thing we start noticing is their skin color and their level of consciousness goes, man, now we're late in the game. So we really need to, you know, venous bleeds can be scary as well, right? People can die from venous bleeds as well. And we're going to talk a little bit about tomorrow, like blood sweeps. You know, like we see a big puddle of blood and we go to that leg and we go high and tight. So we know that leg's taken care of, but we heard several gunshots. We run our hands underneath their other arms and legs up under their back. And, you know, and we'll go over that, you know, when we get out there. We just don't want to throw too much today because you got a bunch of other stuff to do. And it's a step-by-step process, but we'll do blood sweeps.
Questions?
Did you put a half turn on that?
Yep. I just like that.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to do it. That's just the belt. It's just putting more pressure over that surface area right there.
Where the dressing ends up turning.
The reason I'm putting it there is because I want to put more pressure where that hose is being cut.
Right, but it's where the dressing has twisted, right?
Yes.
Where you put that turn on.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So go ahead and you got them reset. So let's pick a partner up, and just one person's gonna go at a time. Don't both of you go, and then we'll flip-flop after we run it. Doesn't have to be your best buddy. I know when I do the leg tourniquets, you guys get a little intimate, but you know, yeah. Mickey likes leg tourniquets for some reason.
So if it's on the neck, right, so I've got pressure on it, I can wrap it up underneath his arm like this, right? And he's got, he's gonna, it's pretty tight already, isn't it? You could tell it's starting to cut a little bit of blood flow off, but guess what? He's got this other side over here that's gonna take care of that problem for him, right? Okay, so if it's in the armpit, what do you do?
This
one. Just the opposite, right? Make sense?
Right arm, go. One person at a time, you decide who's going. Put it on tight. I mean, don't, high and tight, guys, high and tight. Just because you're not putting on yourself, you still need to get high and tight. 18 seconds, good job. Nice. And you see, like, over to sweatshirt, we say one layer of clothing, but a t-shirt and a light sweatshirt is fine. You know, start getting into 28 seconds. Good job. Start getting into really thick winter clothes and stuff. Good. Good job. Yeah. So 36, you're earlier than that, but see, you're getting a little bit far down.
Yeah.
Just so you know, like I said, if we don't want to be up on the shoulder, but there's a nice pocket between the shoulder muscle and like the bicep. And once we tighten that down, the bicep actually will help the tourniquet from sliding down, especially if we have an amputation or something, and a lot of that tissue is damaged. We don't want that tourniquet to slide down.
So everybody find their femoral arteries, right? That are not as deep as what you think they would be, or it depends on the person, but they're not like buried deep down inside of you, right? They're pretty close to the surface, right? Does everybody find them? Feel it? Okay. What we found, there's all kinds of junctional tourniquets that are out nowadays, right? There are these things that blow up kind of like a BP cuff. And there's these other things, kind of looks like a medieval torture device that puts pressure down in a couple different areas and you have to turn it. And it's this big awkward piece of equipment. Well, our guys found that, well, generally every single one of us has a minimum of two of these tourniquets on us. So what I can do, make sure I don't crush Drew's sound gear. What I can do and what we found is because these things are all over the place, Yeti cups, we've done it with helmets, and in our medical schoolhouse at Fort Bragg, they send us all the latest, greatest, everything that somebody's invented, and they tell us to figure it out and see if it's worth the crap or not, which is kind of cool. You get to play with stuff and affect things that happen, right? But what our guys found, it was like, well, I always have this, and I always have something to drink out of, or something that I can make pressure in this one area, right? And this is not just a, hey, Joel thought it was a good idea on Saturday to do this, right? This is, dudes have been medevaced with this on them, okay? So it works. Okay, you guys see where I'm going with this? So if this is going in here, right? So whenever you start cranking down on this, I can feel my body fighting against it right now.
What's our placement?
High and tight.
High and tight. How tight are we making it?
Tight enough to stop the blood.
There you go. Come on, guys. Nobody's shooting at you. You can listen to my question and answer me. Don't ignore me. Yeah.
Time.
29 seconds, 32 seconds.
And what happens whenever you start cranking down, their pressure gets put on it, is it ends up kind of canting that, whatever hard object it is, and putting pressure directly right over the top of that. So this works really well. And all you need is two tourniquets and some sort of hard object, right? Make sense? I wouldn't use like a little crappy water bottle or something, but something that's sturdy. That'll stay in this area, right? Any questions on that? It's a pretty slick technique, man.
Good job. Guys, make sure, listen, if you're putting it on somebody else, it does get a little tough if they have stuff in their pockets. Everybody's carrying a phone, a knife. We talked about drop-down holsters for like law enforcement or military, you know? They have something that's there. You have to get that out of their pockets. honestly, what we would do sometimes is you take a pair of trauma shears or, you know, you gotta be careful with a knife, but I'm just saying, if you cut the bottom side of someone's pocket, most of their stuff falls right out on the ground if they're sitting on the ground, okay? However you have to do it, make sure that you're not going over the top of it, because a cell phone these days will affect whether the tourniquet's gonna get close enough to the extremity and actually cut off the circulation, okay? Drop down holsters, if you guys are wearing those out there, you come across that. If there's enough slack, you can tuck that strap behind the holster strap. If not, we're gonna have to unclip that leg strap and move it out of the way. Everybody understand that?
Step on up. Any questions? All right, I want everybody to get their hands on one or both of these at a minimum, all right?
The patient on the ground, the patient, left arm, the patient, left arm. You're doing a tourniquet on someone else, and then I gave you a tourniquet on yourself. This is building blocks. As we get to the scenarios, or you're out there on the range, and once we get to the dry fire, and then you start doing them live fire, you know, there's multiple problems here. If we heard five gunshots, like look at the video we saw, however many rounds they fired, that guy was shot in multiple places, most likely. He had a lot of blood up around his upper extremities too, but it probably wasn't as severe as the leg. But I just want you to be thinking, you could have to put on a tourniquet yourself. You know, if you run out of ammo and you're reloading out in the open or something, I might give you a tourniquet, you know?
We got a cool review for you here. This is gonna be on Radian's charging handle. So a lot of people don't know this. Might as well grab one of these. Let's do a quick safety check. We are clear. I'm gonna lock that bolt to the rear. So this is the Radian Model 1. This is the pistol version.